Welcome to the Social Network Show. How do you feel about social technology in this connected, networked world we live in? Your host of the Social Network Show, Dr. J, interviews entertaining and informative guests to tackle the most pressing digital issues of interest to business professionals and nonprofit leaders, to parents and educators, and to those wondering where all this is taking us. And now your host, experimental psychologist, Dr. Jane Karwoski. Welcome to the Spider Graham series on the Social Network Show. Spider co-authored Taking Down Goliath, and he is CEO of TrainingCraft LLC, covering digital advertising, marketing, and sales. Spider joins us with his own awesome guests to further inform you about using digital media to promote your product and service via the internet. Today's episode will feature Jeremy Dalness of PulseInsights.com, where they help you to get to know your followers and potential fans. He has worked with Johnson & Johnson Medical Devices, Panasonic North America, Zio, Excite.com, among others. So welcome back to the Social Network Show, Spider.
Thank you so much, Dr. J. And as you said, it's a real pleasure to be able to spend some time with Jeremy. Jeremy and I actually have known each other for probably over 15 years now. We started working together a long time ago when rich media advertising was just coming on board. And we a lot of time in the trenches learning how to do a better job of helping advertisers communicate with their customers. And since then, Jeremy and I have had a chance to touch base on a number of different projects throughout the years. But what I'm most excited about is Jeremy has just launched a new company called PulseInsights.com. And I'm not going to steal his thunder. I want him to be able to talk about what they do, but let me just preface it by saying it's a very, very solid and interesting way to get feedback from the people who are visiting your sites and your ads to get a better sense of what their needs are. So anyway, Jeremy, so welcome and so great to have you here.
Hey, thank you so much, Spider. Thanks for having me on, Dr. J.
It's great to have you on the show.
So thank you, Jeremy. Can you just kind of, whatever your elevator pitch is for Pulse Insights at this point, can you share with our listeners a little bit about what you're working on and why it's kind of a big deal?
Happy to, yeah. Pulse Insights is a customer experience optimization solution. And that's a lot of heavy wordage there. But what we're really trying to do is unpack and truly understand your visitors and your prospects' unmet needs. And we do that in an innovative way using our proprietary microsurvey platform technology. And what's important here is we have a better way of collecting voice of customer. We tie the responses to those questions into your pre-existing analytics software, so Google Analytics, or if you're using Adobe. Our job here is really to help our clients understand why certain things are happening on their site with different segments of their visitors and combine that with the what and the how. And then to extend the value a little bit further, we help our clients understand what that data means and then provide strategic recommendations on what to do about it. So it addresses a really important gap in the marketplace that I've experienced acutely as a client.
And when you talk about collecting data, how is that being accomplished? Are you using something that you would find through some sort of Omniture or Google Analytics type process, or is it different?
It's different. We have, as I mentioned, our own microsurvey platform that allows our clients to embed microsurveys in their digital ecosystem. So, we're very big believers in elegant user experience and not creating interruptive or otherwise obtrusive ways of collecting this feedback. So it's hard to really articulate, on a podcast, but what you would see is a single question on a website that we try to really focus in on the questions of the moment that are driving the business and or, of real concern to a user. And the answer to that question, you can either answer the question or you can close the survey. It's the same amount of energy. And that's very, very different from how maybe some of the surveys have been implemented in the past where you had this modality of, hey, Spider, spend 10 minutes and tell us what you think about our website. Very few folks do that. In fact, 0.5% is the industry standard response rate for that way of collecting data. whereas on a micro survey, we're getting, you know, at the low end, 4%, and at the high end, as high as 17% of folks answering, you know, a single question during a session.
So you're seriously getting, you're getting a percentage that's, you know, 100 or 1,000 times greater than what the standards are getting through these, the standard survey questions.
That's right.
That certainly is a great improvement. And I would imagine that some of your clients are self-employed, especially perhaps startups that are going to go to bigger things later. And our self-employed listeners know how important it is to record and claim every allowable business expense. And our sponsor for this episode of the Social Network Show, QuickBooks Self-Employed, can help with that. They offer you, our listeners, an entire year at a 50% discount. So just go to tryselfemployed.com/network. QuickBooks Self-Employed also helps take the guesswork out of your estimated quarterly and year-end taxes, so you know how much money to set aside for Uncle Sam and how much stays in your pocket. It also includes tools to help maximize deductions like your home office and mileage. Find out what QuickBooks Self-Employed can do for you and save 50% by visiting the site they created for us, tryselfemployed.com/network. That's tryselfemployed.com/network. And I would imagine that some people would very much like to take advantage of your services at Pulse Insight, Jeremy. Go ahead and tell us, you know, more about this. By the way, there's a wonderful demo on pulseinsights.com, so you can kind of see what these questions would look like and what the team does with the data they gather. Jeremy, that is impressive to me. You talk about using that data. Can you tell us more about that?
I'd love to. Yeah, there are so many use cases for this. And, you know, the idea of continuous, what we call agile learning. I know there's a lot of folks that do software development, and they understand this concept of agile development. We're applying the same thing to continuously learning about your unmet needs of your user base, and then continuously refining to meet those needs. So just by way of example, I think, you know, for your listeners, there might be two that could be really interesting. You know, and actually this is referenced recently in a New York Times article about how someone like a Facebook uses the notion of surveys to get at the feeling, the sentiment, the attitude of the visitors that come through their site. So, you know, especially when it comes to social, it's really about how does this content resonate? And you can use certain cues today to measure that resonance. Did they click on like? Did they click on share? But you can also start to get some interesting data around how did they feel? Did it make you laugh? Did you was it something that was very compelling? Did it strike a resonant chord emotionally with you? And that's really the interesting piece, because action stems from emotion. You get emotionally invested, and that will lead to action. So all of us, Spider, myself, we've grown up optimizing our campaigns against action. And that's a well-understood process. I had 10,000 people come to my site, 50 of them downloaded my podcast, therefore my conversion rate is X, right? But what about the other 9,950? If you could know something about them, about where they are in their funnel, in their journey, and cater to them specifically, how might you approach your content strategy differently? How might you approach your acquisition strategy differently? That's the kind of thing that Pulse Insights unlocks. And, you know, we have great examples of that. You know, we have a pharmaceutical client that, you know, is marketing direct to the patient. And we asked a lot of questions on this particular engagement, but the one that really stuck out was this notion of belief. We asked folks, do you believe this treatment can work? Do you believe? And that's a really fascinating question on many levels, but not least of which because the notion of belief does not show up in your Google Analytics data, right?
Yeah.
So what we were able to do with that, and this is part of the service, and we believe strongly in this, is that the answer to that question was a simple yes or no. And by the way, this is the survey that got 17% response rate. The folks who said yes, we created a custom segment inside Google Analytics, and the same for those who said no. And we were able to look at the differences in behavior, time on site, page is consumed, and obviously, very importantly, what did we pay for believers versus non-believers? And how are they different demographically and psychographically? What are the needs of those segments further on up the funnel? And so that this is to my point, that we created structure around the upper funnel. And that is something, to me, that's always been a challenge, because everyone can optimize on the thing that we want them to do automatically. Computers can do that. What it's really hard to do is figure out unmet needs where they're further up the journey.
Well, that is fascinating. Well, there's more to come here in the next half of our show. Spider Graham and Jeremy Dalmas will tell you more about this, and I'm eager to hear more about that emotional content. And this is Dr. J, and you're listening to The Social Network Show.
Questions? Comments? Email us at questions@thesocialnetworkshow.com. Now, back to The Social Network Show.
Welcome back to The Social Network Show, where you are hearing from Spider Graham and his guest, Jeremy Dalmas of PulseInsights.com. Well, Jeremy, you are trying to measure or pull out the qualities of emotion about the content that viewers see or listeners hear, and you mentioned that that is early on in the sales process and is more intangible than, of course, you know, the general call to action would elicit. I'm fascinated because the thing I'm interested about your CV was that you graduated from Oberlin Conservatory of Music in technology in music and related arts. And as a former independent music instructor, I often read of the advantage of hiring music majors. How would you say your background in music and music technology has affected you? And I'm curious about if this influenced the interest in the emotional component.
It's a fascinating question, and the answer is yes, it has. And I actually was just at Oberlin last year, right around commencement, to give a talk on exactly this topic, because conservatories of music specifically have a struggle consistently with how do we create career opportunities for our music majors. And what's fascinating is, I mean, there's many facets to this, but I'll just talk about two of how I think they relate to being successful in the world of business, right, just generally speaking.
Okay.
The first aspect I would say is, what's not in the CV is I actually double majored in Timara and cello performance. So I actually played cello also fairly consistently over the years, and what I learned in that practice is that it's super important to come to the ensemble knowing your part. If you know your part, that's 90% of the battle. If you know your part and you show up, but you have to practice, right? And that's really the independent side of things. But if you don't know your part, the whole ensemble is gonna fall apart, and that's really, really critical. You know,
and your fellow musicians are not going to be happy with you.
Exactly. And the second thing that I wanted to call out in the context of this conversation is the notion of listening. And, you know, clearly that ties into, you know, the earlier part. But if this is something I didn't know when I was growing up. If you've ever watched, you know, PBS and seen or gone to a live show or concert of a symphony orchestra, it always struck me as odd that when the conductor was moving his hands, it didn't really seem to have much correlation to what was actually happening, you know, from the audio perspective. And that's also something to do with, you know, the time it takes for sound to travel. But what's really interesting is that the conductor is there to shape the piece. He's there to, you know, really help the ensemble understand where tempo should be faster, where it should be slower. He's really the strategic leader, or in this case, CEO. But the execution, the execution of the performance on the day of performance day, that is all about the ensemble listening to each other. So the conductor, in fact, doesn't have to be there on performance night. And that's something that I think also is a really important skill to learn and allows musicians specifically to be very, I think, proactive and self-motivated to get things done in any capacity.
Jeremy, okay. I wanted to get back to something you were talking about earlier, which I think it's you and I are certainly veterans in the digital media space, but even looking at traditional media, and the idea of let's say a television commercial getting broadcast, we have never ever had a way to determine what the effectiveness or impact of that ad was at time. We could measure that the ad played, but we could never measure what the perception of it was. Were the people who were watching it, A, were they in the room? B, were they watching it with rapt attention? Were they sleeping? Did they care? Did they not care? And getting back to something you were talking about, the idea of the sales funnel, and something we've known for a long time is that not everybody is in the same place in the sales funnel. And so the idea that you have people who have just heard of your brand for the first time, and then there's also people who are getting close to making a buying decision, and how they're very different people with very different needs. Could you spend a moment kind of talking about how your microsurvey solution is able to home in and get a better understanding of who these people are, what their needs are at any point within the funnel?
Yes, that's a great question as well. So one of the things that I've struggled with, my background, I've worked in Fortune 50s and I've worked in startups with 10 people and very little in between. And what's fascinating is that a lot of the challenges across those different types of organizations are similar. And one of the things that's been on top of mind in a lot of the business press is this notion of big data. There's so much data. There's so many signals being recorded and measured in the system. So what I think about when I think about the notion of TV campaigns and the types of behaviors that would trigger potentially a lot more data to be generated on a website, when I think about microsurveys, I'll use an analogy here. I don't know if anyone does a lot of hiking, but the microsurvey serves as a trailhead. It serves as a way in to a lot of data that is typically overwhelming. I knew it was overwhelming for me, and I sort of have an idea of what's going on. And I think that there are certain companies like maybe an IBM and their Watson work, or other big companies with a lot of resources, they really have what it takes to leverage big data. What I think Pulse Insights does is it enables, let's just say smaller businesses than IBM to pivot to say, all right, we had a TV campaign. We can identify those people and something unique about them and peg them as to where they are in the funnel. And from there, we can apply all the same rigor and analytics that we would on the folks that did the thing that we wanted, that gave us their money, that downloaded our white paper, that subscribed to our newsletter. But we can do it higher up in the funnel and get much more resolution and ultimately achieve greater ROI on those tranches of the upper funnel. And that's simply by asking a question.
So in my understanding, in a lot of ways, you're using the data to look for lookalikes so that you say this is a similar path to a pattern of what we've seen before, or does each person get kind of a unique marker to help identify them?
The path of least resistance here, if we're using pathing analogies, is the lookalike thing. I mean, it really, what you're trying to do is get something that rises above, the noise level and is real signal. That says, like in that earlier example, believers, we knew for sure that believers tended to be, this demographic versus non-believers that were this demographic. Believers were older females, non-believers were younger males. That rose above the noise, and that allowed the media buyers to optimize accordingly. So from a specific standpoint, we can actually tie responses directly into your CRM. So if somebody comes to the site and says, expresses some sort of dissatisfaction, you can follow up with them specifically on the thing that they said was a problem. So, it is both, but we tend to start with the larger, broader strokes.
Jeremy, if you could compare this to, like, if you take an individual that is starting on this journey, and most of the time, I would say it sounds like they're kind of ignored until they get farther along in the journey toward buying the product or using the service, etc. That if you influence a person early on, that will make a big difference in the trajectory. Just like if you nudge something that's in flight early on, it's going to make a big difference at the end. Would that be an apt comparison?
I think so. I think that again, philosophically, the way we approach voice of customer collection and survey execution specifically is exactly in line with that. So you think about, again, the way that surveys are typically executed today, there's 40 questions, and by the end, you're exhausted. And from a user perspective, I don't get anything of value out of that. You know?
Uh-huh.
So, you know, I did my, you know, good deed for the day for this company, but, you know, what we're trying to do is actually create a value equation so that when you are higher up in the funnel and someone says, yeah, I don't understand what you mean when you say XYZ, the next page view can literally, or the inside the survey itself, we can define what that is. You know, so we have a hypothesis about, you know, lack of understanding of something on a website, or, you know, how can we make this better? You can ask the question, then immediately provide a value exchange. You've created, you know, a small signal, mm-hmm. a small marker of trust between you and the brand or the publisher. So yeah, I think that has a role to play as well.
Can you share with us, you know, and I know you guys are just getting launched right now, but have you had any good success stories that you can talk about how some of your clients have implemented the micro surveys mm-hmm. and kind of results they've gotten?
Yeah, thank you. So, you know, I'll just go back to that pharma example. You know, we helped this particular client. It wasn't all us. I can't take total credit. There's a lot of great people that were involved in the system, but we helped catalyze an ongoing discussion, literally almost on a daily basis with the team, where we took out and saved this client $200,000 of inefficient media spend that they were able to then reallocate to stuff that they now knew was more valuable higher up in the funnel. And ultimately, the results, when it came to prescription fill rate, this client was seeing a lift of about 8% of fill rate at the pharmacy. So, you know, we were able to take very tangible online results and see the impact, you know, at the fill, you know, at the filling station at the pharmacy. So they were very, very pleased with it, and, you know, it's been an ongoing success story.
So I'm assuming, like, with most campaigns, there's just a phase of optimization, and from what I'm hearing, it's, you know, you told them to put their shotguns away and pick up a rifle so they could hit what they're aiming at and not just hit everybody. Is that an ongoing
That's right.
thing where it allows you to go in and become more and more precise through iteration?
That's exactly right. And so what we identified here, again, you can use microsurveys to create structure around the upper funnel, is, you know, those folks that weren't believers in this case, you know, they were still spending three times the normative average time on site. And so why is that? You know, there's a lot of curiosity about that, and we have some theories around that. They want to believe, and now we know what their unmet needs are. So we can now work with the agency to craft a content strategy that helps create the bridge between where they are and where we think they would like to be, and ultimately that's going to help them. So absolutely, you know, it's the rifle analogy is a good one, you know, but it's this idea that you're constantly going to the range and getting closer and closer to the bullseye. And you're learning, you're redialing in your scope, you know, changing the caliber of your, I don't know if the right rifle analogy holds up, but it very much is like that, where you free up resources that you've quickly identified as inefficient and can now start asking questions around the upper funnel to say, okay, what is it that we can do here? Because to your point, and to our earlier point, you want to grow the business, and the business growth happens further up in the customer journey. But doing that responsibly with an eye towards really, you know, the bottom line and ROI has always been a challenge. You know, I've always been very amazed at the, you know, when you first launch a campaign like search engine marketing or something and you get those incredible, you know, lifts. And then at some point you're like, wow, I've really tapped out. I don't have any more. I can't buy this keyword enough. I'm already number one and there's nowhere to go. Yeah, you know, where do you go next?
Can you share how people can get in touch with you if they want to follow up and learn more about Pulse Insights and what you're doing?
Sure. I would recommend they go to pulseinsights.com, pulseinsights.com, and you can email us at info@pulseinsights.com, or our phone number is on the website as well.
Pleasure having you today.
Hey, thanks so much, both.
Okay, thank you so much for sharing your thoughts, you and Spider also. And thank you for listening. We bring you Leaders in Business, Cyber Citizenship, and the Ethical, Legal, and Social Implications of Our Networked, Connected World. Please help us reach an even greater and wider audience by telling your social network about this podcast. Please have fun and be safe online and off, until you listen again.
You've been listening to The Social Network Show, the only worldwide show dedicated to social networking and social media. Listen to archived shows and follow us on Twitter. The views expressed on The Social Network Show are those of the hosts and guests and may not be the views of Social Network Intermedia. The Social Network Show is produced by Social Network Intermedia, copyright 2012.